I'm Donna from Claverack, and you're listening to WGXE Acra 90.7 FM.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and today on the WGXC Morning Show, which you are tuned into now, we'll hear from Sylvia Rowlands about the wind turbine factory on Beacon Island. That's an island made of toxic coal ash locally. Plus, we will hear all about the House choosing a Speaker of the House very early Saturday morning. We've got all sorts of radio news for you this hour. Plus, we'll hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all starts after Jason Martin finishes singing this song. And then it's time for the local news on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
In air waves controlled. In air channel connection. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network.
This is the news.
This is the network.
This is the news.
This is the network. Network. This is the news.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Mid-Hudson News reports that after 4 days of acrimony, arm-twisting, and 15 different ballots, the new Republican majority in the 118th Congress finally saw California Republican Kevin McCarthy sworn in as Speaker of the House very early on January 7th. The 15 different ballots required were the most in 164 years. The resistance to McCarthy's elevation came from 20 hard-right election deniers and loyalists of former President Donald Trump, and almost ended with fisticuffs in the House chamber. After lengthy negotiations, McCarthy won a majority over. All other business was halted until the Speaker was elected, including the administering of the oath of office to each of the members. Newly elected Mark Molinaro, a Dutchess County Republican who represents the new 19th Congressional District, did not take his oath until early January 7th. He then returned to New York to speak at a ceremony for State Senator Rob Rollison. Molinaro said the first 4 days in Washington did not go as he had planned, but he characterized the process as healthy. Molinaro said, quote, despite the time it took, don't mistake it for wasted time, unquote, noting, quote, there are ideological differences within the majority, but they were confronted very early, unquote. He said that Congress can now get on with the work they were sent to do. Quote, Americans want us to work on driving down costs, protecting and securing communities, the safety and security at our borders, energy independence and education, unquote, Molinaro said. Quote, this is what democracy sometimes looks like, and the differences of opinions were aired out in full view of the public, unquote, adding, quote, the American people delivered a divided government, and that means we're always going to have our differences, and sometimes that means we're going to air them out in public, rightfully so, unquote, even though the only differences aired in these hearings was among his own party. Read more about this story at MidHudsonNews.com.
Andrea Mako at Porcupine Soup follows up on the shocking story of the town of Cairo's tax era. On November 7th, Cairo Town Supervisor Jason Watts said taxes were only increasing by 0.51% as the final 2023 budget was adopted. But then on December 28th, town officials say an error was discovered, and actually the town levy was growing by 7.5% and the tax rate was increasing by 5.11%. On December 29th, the town board held an emergency meeting to pass a local law authorizing an override of the state's tax cap. Porcupine Soup has repeatedly asked the New York State Comptroller's Office for comment without response. Town Attorney Tal Rapplier did not provide any clarity on the error, saying, and I quote, "The only thing we can think of is there was some type of typographical or accounting error in the document that the town presented on the night of the public hearing," end quote. The town clearly broke state rules that clearly state that an override of the state's tax cap must be passed by a town before they vote on a budget that overrides the tax cap. The New York State Department of Taxation and Finance and the New York State Department of State Local Governments says towns, and I quote, "may override the tax levy limit only by first passing a local law," end quote, "that allows for the tax levy limit to be exceeded." Further stated, and I quote, "A budget officer or chief executive may prepare a tentative budget that requires a tax levy in excess of the levy limit. However, the governing body cannot, without first complying with the override requirements, 1. Adopt a budget that requires a levy in excess of the tax levy limit, or 2. Impose or cause the imposition of a tax levy to the extent that the budget requires a levy in excess of the levy limit," end quote. Cairo's lawyer seemed to admit that he oversaw the town break the rules. Rapplier said, and I quote, "If it turns out that the tax override law is no good, then we have to do what we have to do with the comptroller's office," end quote. The town of Cairo also seems to be ignoring the rules written specifically for a situation of this sort. The New York State Comptroller's Office website says, and I quote, "In the event that a local government or school district levies more than the amount allowable under the tax levy limit due to a clerical or technical error, the local government or school district must place the excess amount in a reserve in accordance with requirements as prescribed by the state comptroller. The funds and any interest earned must be used to offset the tax levy in the following fiscal year. Further, if upon post-audit, the state comptroller finds that a local government levied taxes in excess of the allowable limit, the local government must place an amount equal to the excess in the reserve," end quote. Cairo residents are upset about the enormous tax bills they are now getting because of an alleged clerical error. Frank Algazine, a Cairo resident who formerly served as Greene County's Director of Real Property Taxes, said, and I quote, "To hear of this kind of gross error in the tax levy increase calculation raises serious concerns in my mind about the entire town of Cairo town budget. The next town of Cairo board meeting is at 7 p.m. January 9th at the town hall." And you can read more about this story at Porcupine Soup.
The Times Union reports that Amtrak customers can bring their, quote, plus one, unquote, for free when traveling in coach under a new buy one, get one free sale on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays until February 28th. Customers can get the buy one, get one discount using promo code V309 at booking. 1 day advance purchase is required. The promotion is available on select trains only. Customers can also travel with dogs and cats up to 20 pounds for a small fee. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Nick Reisman reports at New York State of Politics that Governor Kathy Hochul has approved a new law preventing any party in a mortgage foreclosure process from unilaterally stopping and restarting the statute of limitations to bring back what would otherwise be a time-barred application. State Senator James Sanders, who sponsored the legislation, said, and I quote, "I heartily applaud Governor Kathy Hochul for doing the right thing to make sure the foreclosure process in New York is fair to all parties concerned. For most two people, a home is a family's biggest investment, and it is where they live their lives," end quote. Assemblyperson Helene Weinstein also backed the measure, saying, and I quote, "The deck has long been stacked against homeowners due to a highly flawed mortgage foreclosure process, and this bill will go a long way to adding back some fairness to the process," end quote. Read the full story at New York State of Politics.
Heather Bellow reports for the Berkshire Eagle that a group of residents and activists in Sheffield, Massachusetts, are attempting to block 5G wireless systems from being installed in town until research determines that emissions from the technology is safe for people, animals, and the environment. Critics say existing federal safety standards are outdated and do not apply to the higher fifth-generation levels of radio frequency radiation. The town, however, might not legally be able to stop what the federal government allows the telecommunications industry to do. However, lawyers who fight cell towers and antenna say that well-written local codes can stop installations. The Sheffield-based Scientific Alliance for Education, or SAFE, presented a petition to the Select Board on January 3rd, requesting a moratorium on millimeter wave 5G small cell technology be put before voters at the annual town meeting in May. The petition asked for the pause until the Federal Communications Commission updates its limits for radiation exposure based on the results of specific research on 5G radiation, quote, from scientists independent from industry, unquote. SAFE Vice President Catherine Levin told the board that potential liability to towns looms, quote, if someone gets sick, unquote. Just look at what happened in Pittsfield over a cell tower that 17 residents say has harmed them, she said. However, Sheffield might not have a say in the matter, said town administrator Rhonda LaBombard. The federal government will not allow the town to regulate telecommunications infrastructure, quote, based on environmental issues or the effects of radio frequency, unquote, she added. Some Berkshire officials agree with FCC officials and aren't convinced that 5G is or will be a problem. Great Barrington's planning board is not yet addressing 5G in its zoning laws. Quote, I'm not aware of scientific literature from NIH, WHO, or other reputable sources that provide actual evidence of health risks from 5G, unquote, said Chair Brandy Nelson. Read more about this story in the Berkshire Eagle.
Melanie Lekasevic reports for Capital Region Independent Media that the town of Coyman celebrates its 350th anniversary this year. There will be a parade and other special events this summer, and right now, the Historical Society's Museum at 15 Mountain Road in Ravenna has an exhibit on the town's founding. Albany County Legislator Zachary Collins, a Republican who represents Coyman, said after visiting the exhibit, and I quote, "You don't really know who you are if you don't know where you come from or where you've been. I just had a tour of the museum, and it's amazing. It makes you proud to see where you've come from and the history of the town," end quote. The exhibit traces the town history back to 1673, when Barrett Coymans received a patent for a 125-square-mile tract of land where he would build a stone Coymans Castle at the corner of what is now Westerlo and First Street. And you can read the full story at theupstater.com.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Renewable Weather Forecast. For Monday, January 9th, we start each renewable weather forecast off with the price of fossil fuels in Greene County. The Citco in South Caro has gas at $3.35 a gallon. That's the lowest locally, according to the Gas Buddy website. The air quality forecast, meanwhile, is a 23. That is in the good range for Monday, and the UV index is just a 1. And the water temperature in the Hudson River in Albany is about 42.5 degrees. And over the past 10 years, it averages out at 39.5 degrees on January 9th. So it's about 3 degrees warmer than average in the last 10 years on this date. The National Weather Service in Albany predicts a partly sunny Monday with a high of 38 and a northwest wind around 6 miles per hour spinning local windmills. Monday night, the forecast is for cloudy skies with a low around 27 and a northwest wind 5 to 8 miles per hour with gusts as high as 20 miles per hour. Tuesday should be partly sunny with a high of 36 and a northwest wind around 6 miles per hour. and a low around 23 Tuesday night. Wednesday, again, partly sunny is the forecast with a high of 36 and a low around 29. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM Acre, Catskill, Hudson, solar-powered radio for open ears.
To get a local event mentioned on All Together Now, go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page, and copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
The Catskill Town Board meets every first Tuesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. at the Catskill Town Hall and holds a committee meeting the third Wednesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. You can turn out in person at the Catskill Town Hall to speak at these meetings or tune in to a live web stream through the Catskill Town Board and WGXC. Go to wgxc.org/listen or click on the listen button at wgxc.org to tune in to any of the Catskill Town Board meetings, the first Tuesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. and the third Wednesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. at wgxc.org and townofcatskillny.gov.
Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we are following our democracy in historic times.
The president who caused the chaos of the border needed to be here.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott harshly criticized President Joe Biden as Air Force One touched down near El Paso, where a record number of migrants are arriving each day. Biden inspected a stretch of the U.S.-Mexico border and met with officials to discuss an increase in fentanyl trafficking tied to a spike in overdoses. The administration also just announced a new plan to consider the asylum claims of up to 30,000 migrants a month from Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, and Venezuela.
But I do want to especially thank President Trump. I don't think anybody should doubt his influence.
Newly minted House Speaker Kevin McCarthy made sure to thank former President Donald Trump after the longest fight over the gavel since the Civil War. Trump also made sure to thank himself, writing on his Truth social media platform that by helping the Republican leader, he did the country a big favor. Following McCarthy's victory, House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries of New York rallied fellow Democrats around their legislative successes of the past 2 years, including the American Rescue Plan and the Inflation Reduction Act.
It was one of the most consequential Congresses in American history.
Jeffries predicted the concessions McCarthy had to make to far-right lawmakers to win their votes are just the beginning of dysfunction in the House. Jeffries tells NBC an extremist agenda has now been negotiated into House rules and will hobble the functioning of Congress. Supporters of Brazil's far-right ex-president Jair Bolsonaro clashed with police and vandalized the presidential palace, Congress, and Supreme Court. The attack comes 1 week after the inauguration of President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva. Bolsonaro claimed without evidence that the election was stolen before claiming asylum in Florida. Some U.S. officials are comparing the attacks to January 6th and calling for his extradition back to Brazil.
There are those in the state who do not understand the urgency of the crisis.
Maryland Governor-elect Wes Moore should have little resistance in acting policies related to climate change now that Democrats control both the governor's office and the state legislature. Climate activists hope Democratic leaders in Massachusetts, Michigan, and Minnesota will also use their newfound trifecta of statehouse control to pursue environmental policies rejected by previous Republican leaders. Democratic Colorado Governor Jared Polis is pausing a plan to bus asylum seekers to Chicago and New York after complaints from their mayors. In a letter to Polis, they say they are over capacity after receiving hundreds of migrants from Colorado. I'm Catherine Carley for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. You've likely heard that Kev the Contenda McCarthy won in the 15th round of a heavyweight title bout early Saturday. Oh, sorry, wrong blood sport. That was U.S. Representative Kevin McCarthy, who was elected Speaker of the House early Saturday morning on the 15th ballot. It was, however, a slugfest, with ultra-conservative Republicans in the Freedom Caucus trading votes for key committee positions and rules changes. Such backroom deals are part of Congress. But what raised an alarm for democracy advocates was a reported deal negotiated as part of congressional business with a super PAC. Salon reports McCarthy openly negotiated with the Congressional Leadership Fund super PAC to not run and support more moderate candidates against Freedom Caucus-supported ultra-conservative candidates for open primaries. Seats. In a letter published by Politico, End Citizens United, a money and politics watchdog group, complained to the Office of Congressional Ethics that, quote, McCarthy and House staff acting on his behalf are using official resources to plan and direct campaign and political activities with federal super PACs in violation of House rules, and that McCarthy and agents working on his behalf are directing the political decisions of the Congressional Leadership Fund in violation of the Bipartisan Campaign Reform Act of 2002. Another of McCarthy's concessions to the Freedom Caucus gut the Office of Congressional Ethics. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
I'm Tom Roof from Wave Farm with the Daily Radio News. Tim Cushing reports in TechDirt that Apple is now offering users the option to fully encrypt data stored in its cloud service. Previously, when law enforcement could not access information on a cell phone, they could go around that in some situations by accessing what that locked cell phone had uploaded to the cloud. The Federal Bureau of Investigation was not happy about that announcement, as they would prefer a compromised encryption that only law enforcement can utilize that does not exist. If one creates a gate for law enforcement to get in, then hackers can use that too. Interestingly, the FBI was the only law enforcement agency with a statement against iCloud encryption. Cushing writes that the FBI, quote, has spent much of the past half decade lying about the extent of the problem encryption poses to investigators and insinuating that a solution could be had if only people smart enough to make it happen would stop playing dumb, unquote. Still, Apple made a concession to the FBI, not giving managed Apple IDs and child accounts the option to fully encrypt data. But that might be against the law in the United Kingdom and California. When that gets sorted out, it may be that child accounts are required to be fully encrypted, against the FBI's wishes. And finally, another party that is very much against allowing encryption on phones that would prevent governments from spying on constituents is the Chinese government. They surely won't like Apple's announcement, as it said that encryption, quote, will eventually be offered in China, unquote, which seems unlikely. But even if Chinese citizens won't have encrypted data, it appears residents of the United States will. Read more about this story in Tech Dirt. Go to wavefarm.org for more radio news.
Hello, and welcome to the better weather for Monday, January 9th. We are 2.4% of the way through the year, and we got 70 days left until spring. Local early morning temperatures range from 21 degrees in Voorheesville to 32 in High Falls. Regional average soil temperature took a dip over the weekend and is now 35 degrees. And today's snow falls 180 miles away near Watertown, New York. Over here in the Upper Hudson Valley, it's going to be cold with some patches of fog this morning. This afternoon, winds wipe those away, keeping the need for hats and gloves around. Also, don't forget sunglasses. The day ends with sunny skies and we hit a high temperature of 41 degrees at 2 p.m. Up in the hills, around that time, temperatures will briefly break the freezing point, so watch for surface ice. Overnight temperatures, at least for most of us, fall to 27 degrees. Tomorrow, dry with temperatures and winds balancing through the day, keeping conditions at the bottom end of cold. Layer up. Mercury spikes at 39 degrees around 1 p.m. 26 degrees overnight takes us into an also dry-looking Wednesday with a high of 37. Thursday, we get, let's call it randomly phased precipitation. It definitely won't be cold enough for it to be all snow. We get a high of 44. Sunset today will be at 4:27 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be 7:19 a.m. Looking way up, we see, whoa, Sunspot 3182 has a pretty unstable magnetic field, and it's giving us a 30% chance of X-class flares today. If you're up for some colorful hyperbole, considering the time of year, that's like the sun pointing a shotgun at South America today. And yes, that means we could see some radio blackouts, including serious radio and GPS interruptions at our latitude, and some possible serious headaches for satellites. Solar wind speed is currently 405 kilometers per second at 1.3 protons per milliliter. Magic 8 ball for the radio propagation conditions currently says don't count on it till overnight, where you might get some luck below 18 megahertz. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 3, quiet. The current sunspot number is 117, and this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Maker Syndicate.
The Catskill Town Board meets every first Tuesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. at the Catskill Town Hall and holds a committee meeting the third Wednesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. You can turn out in person at the Catskill Town Hall to speak at these meetings or tune in to a live web stream through the Catskill Town Board and WGXC. Go to wgxc.org/listen or click on the listen button at wgxc.org to tune in to any of the Catskill Town Board meetings, the first Tuesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. and the third Wednesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. at wgxc.org and townofcatskillny.gov.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Sean Mooney of Brooklyn, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by SunCommon, supporting vibrant communities across New York for 15 years, offering custom solar installations for homes, farms, and businesses. Information at suncommon.com.
WGXC, radio for open ears. If you like what you're hearing, you know, WGXC has been really producing some excellent music programming, some entertaining satire, important local information. Become a sustaining supporter. Go to the website wgxc.org and click on the donate button. Help keep local hands-on community radio alive. We'll be right back.
and you,
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 are listening,
are listening,
are listening,
are listening,
are listening,
are listening,
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 listening. You're listening to 90.7
90.7
WGXC Acra Catskills,
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 today.
East Durham,
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 Catskills,
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 Catskills.
Operation Unite, along with the Hudson Area Library, is presenting Photography, Land and River, an exhibition and with youth and adult participants who attended photography workshops led by J.D. Urban and apprentice S. Triana. The opening reception is Wednesday, January 11th from 5 to 6:30 p.m. at the Hudson Area Library's Community Room. And the exhibition is up there from January 11th through February 14th. Go to the WGXC Community Calendar online at wgxc.org to find out more about this event and many others, and add your own event by pressing the Add an Event button and pasting in information about whatever event you're organizing that you want to be read on the radio and seen around the world at the community calendar at wgxc.org. Here is 2022 new music from Finez. This song is called Sound Earth on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM. 2022 song from the Baltimore-based duo Matmos from their Thrill Jockey album. That's the song Flash Cube Fogwares Glucha Afarish Slow.
Life can be. Ooh, ooh, ooh. I'm
Next, we hear 2022 new music from the band Weak Signal. This song is called Spooky Feeling, with Cass McCombs playing some extra guitar from their album War and War.
Yeah.
That was 2022 new music from Lucretia Dalt. The song was called Mariterna, and it's from the Baby soundtrack. That's a HBO Max TV show with Lucretia Dalt there with the music on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM. That was 2022 new music from L. Michael's Affair with Pia Malek. The song was called Kabi.
Oh.